Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
What happened, Dan? Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Alan Hahn, Patrick McEnroe, and... Yeah, exactly, Keyshawn Johnson. But we do have some breaking news, though, here in the world of college football, something that we were anticipating happening today. Well, it has happened. Adam Rittenberg, our senior writer for ESPN College Football, reporting the alliance between the ACC, Big Ten, and Pac-12 will be announced 2 p.m. Eastern today. That's according to sources. The three leagues expected to emphasize common values and unanimous support impacting key topics affecting college athletes and schools in all sports. Sources say the Pac-12 of the three leagues has been the most aggressive in forming and encouraging the alliance. Let's see. So
they don't want to get left behind.
I just want to get all the details in here now. So the mission is to improve football in the league. Obviously boosting revenue because it's always about money. Pac-12 prepares to renegotiate its media rights agreement. And it will not include widespread football scheduling principles among the three leagues, according to sources. Many of the game contracts are set for many years out. There is a desire to see what potential expanded CFP model looks like before adopting a new schedule strategy as well. Teams from the three leagues are expected to start scheduling each other more. Individual leagues could make adjustments to their scheduling models. And one possibility, Pac-12 reducing its number of league games from 9 to 8 to free up teams to play opponents from other Power 5 conferences, such as the Big Ten and AC&C. But the across-the-board scheduling, so don't expect like immediate impact on this.
Right. It sounds like they're going to basically keep their conferences, but just going to try to play more games against those teams from the other conferences.
Right.
So like, it sounds like it's an alliance, not a conference.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the difference.
It's not
It's not a new conference.
Conference.
Boo.
It's just an agreement.
It's just an agreement.
To sort of work together.
We could have did that without this.
Yeah, like this suddenly I was just kind of like fizzles.
I'm not hyped anymore.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, I need the cold take horn.
Yeah, I was looking for everything to be packaged up. I had already started dates in my mind of when I'm traveling to Clemson, South Carolina, when I'm going to Ohio State, when Northwestern's coming.
USC, Michigan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm on the East Coast. I could take in Rutgers versus USC.
Right. So it's all about you, Kate.
Well, I mean,
well, that's, what I was
that's what I was expecting,
well,
though,
fans,
Pat.
Right? That's what normal fans are thinking about.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we thought this was going to be a horn blast.
I was thinking
take. It's not.
Duke think they're smarter than us, and we would take them to the woodshed and show them that they're not.
Right.
That's what I was thinking.
Okay.
Yeah.
Show them a little West Coast football.
After reading the report, it sort of does feel like it's like, little, oh, that's
we were
all
excited. Oh, we got big news here. And they're like,
So – yeah.
What's different about this?
So nothing really is going to happen right
away. I was looking forward to that Maryland-Oregon State game.
No, you weren't. Nobody was. Nobody was.
Northwestern versus Stanford.
Yes.
Come on.
Yep.
Right. Nobody's looking forward to that either. Although, you know, Ohio State-Oregon, like, there are some potentials
But they play each other this year anyway. But, no, there are some potential matchups. But, I mean, just all the way around, I was kind of looking for, you know, 3-4 games a year with those different opponents from different conferences where it sounds like they're only talking about like
one
game.
Yeah.
It's like
a
you could do
game.
I could do that anyway. We play Notre Dame every
they're
year anyway.
Yeah, USC has been playing Notre Dame forever.
Yeah.
They're trying to answer, of course, as the SEC just gets bigger and bigger and more powerful. Paul Feinbaum was on with us yesterday and you know, we discussed this, what the other conferences can do and that there really isn't any good path.
The problem is there really isn't a good path. This is really about power and leverage and television. And you know, there's only one big card out there that remains that I think could move the needle. And Keyshawn, that's Notre Dame. If you know, Notre Dame suddenly decided to join the ACC, then they have satisfied and checked the SEC. The only other solution would be for the Big Ten to say, you know what? We're going to do the same thing that you're accusing the SEC of doing. We're going west. And we've got our eyes on two schools out there. Oregon, very attractive national brand, and then one of the biggest brands of all time in college football. You can say it, USC. That would make the Big Ten in as powerful as the SEC or the ACC with Notre Dame. But other than that, there really aren't any cards. So it's very interesting to me what the end game here is, considering that the Big 12 has still been left out in the cold. I think it's just about headlines, and I think it's about politics.
Now, as you see, as he mentioned there too, like what happens to the Big 12, we don't mention them, and they're already losing two teams as it is, but this isn't quite what we were thinking, right? Like
no,
to
at
have
least not
the,
yet.
The Oregon brand, the USC brand, to be able to pull that in with a Big Ten that's you know, Michigan brand is a big brand, Notre Dame's a big brand. Like you do have to get them together because the SEC has all the brands. I mean, they are loaded
with the
obviously with
Clemson. I don't
know
if they have all the brands.
I was about to say, I don't know if they have all the brands.
They got some of the bigger ones.
They got Alabama, Georgia, Florida, and LSU. And then kind of everybody else hides behind that. For a while, it was Alabama for a while and Florida. Yeah, but okay, so that's four that they hide. But okay, so essentially, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, mm-hmm. when you start talking about the SEC conference as a whole, people, they for so many years, they hid behind Alabama because Alabama was winning so much. Georgia wins a lot of games in the regular season, not so much in the postseason.
Right.
Florida was down for a while after Urban Meyer. Mm-hmm. They started, it was just like, couldn't get out of their own way. Mm-hmm. LSU had a long down streak up until the point that Coach O got them turned around for that one year. So when you start talking about them Kentuckys and them Ole Misses and Mississippi States, those are just – every conference got that middle of the road kind of like bowl team every single year.
Ole Miss isn't a classic brand, though. I know they're not a brand
they're not a power
top five team, but that's a brand. Ole Miss is a brand.
Ole Miss is about as much of a brand as Cal is.
Well, they are in that part of the country.
About as much as a brand as Michigan State is.
But aren't those brands big in their region?
Yeah.
And then you've got Bama, and then you've got USC,
yes.
and you've got Ohio
SEC.
State that are more national brands.
Yeah. See, the way I always look at the college football brand landscape is if I was a coach at another school, would I want to go there? Or I'm okay being where I'm at? There's not a lot of schools that you could say I'm leaving to go to. Like, you're not leaving USC or Texas to go to Clemson, mm-hmm. or to coach at Alabama. They're all on the same level.
You didn't mention Texas, by the way.
I did say Texas.
You did say?
I just said Texas.
You said four. I'm talking about before, when you gave me four brands. I don't think Texas is one of those
Texas,
brands.
Texas, okay.
That's
so
a brand, too.
Oklahoma.
Texas is a brand.
Oklahoma's
to me,
a brand.
When you talk about college football, it's Texas, USC, Alabama, Michigan, Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you start to slide Oklahoma in there.
But now you got Clemson.
But Clemson's not.
I know, but Clemson's way better than almost
they're
all those
big,
teams you mentioned.
They're big right now in this last 10 years.
Right.
They've been, like, large. But I'm just talking about where you would leave a college head coaching job
I get that.
Bounce to another school.
Yeah, what are
like,
the
I'm leaving
jobs?
Louisville to go to Florida State. It's not even a question. But I'm not necessarily leaving Texas to go to Florida State.
I mean, to me, this is a larger, turns into a larger discussion, which you sort of hit on right now in saying, there's those middle tier schools in the big conferences.
Yes.
So those schools, to me, will probably survive just by the fact that they're in those conferences playing Alabama. But what's going to happen to other schools? I mean, to me, this is an overall deal that they're. It seems to me at some point in time there's going to be less schools in general because of the money, because you got the big schools need to play against other big schools more often, that they're not going to be maybe as many teams around. You know, with the bottom two teams in the SEC or the Pac-12 or the Big 12, will they survive in 10 years, 15?
Well, they do because of the
hangers-on in those conferences.
Well, I can recruit. See, and I think this is the point of it, is that I can recruit better – because I can attract a player who might not be the blue chip going to Alabama, or going to Clemson, mm-hmm. or going to USC, but I'm in their conference and you can play them.
Yes.
And so you can prove yourself against the best.
So even if you win two, three games
every year. So it doesn't matter, right? But that's the point. Is like, so this alliance allows some schools to say, well, we're going to play SC. We're going to play this school, and that helps with your recruiting. That's why if you're in the SEC, it doesn't matter how bad you are. You're still playing Alabama. You're still playing,
you're still playing
Auburn. You're still playing.
If you're Vanderbilt, you're still a doormat.
Yeah.
They're going to run all over you and tune up for the next game.
Well, but that's kind of where I think this is all coming from.
So
in
maybe
the end, it's always
maybe
about
it
money.
Affects the schools that are not in those power conferences.
Yeah, yeah.
So pretty, I can tell you. I can tell you for sure, though. One thing that and don't take this the wrong way, Paul Feinbaum. One thing that those three school conferences have, collectively an alliance that the SEC doesn't have,
is
a strong academics. I can assure say that. No, I'm just listen. I'm looking at myself. I'm like Duke, Wake Forest, Virginia. And then I'm missing some people. Then I go Northwestern, Michigan,
Stanford
right. USC, Cal.
Yeah.
So I'm like UCLA. Yeah. Right. I'm just sitting there going, it's going to be a lot of guys with a lot of great educations.
30 for 30 podcasts and the undefeated present the King of Crenshaw. This four-part series examines how Nipsey Hussle's life, death, and legacy impacted the sports world, particularly the NBA. Hear DeMar DeRozan, Isaiah Thomas, and DeMarcus Cousins, among others, explore the realities of life as a black man in America, Nipsey's dedication to South LA and his community, and how Nipsey inspired millions. The marathon continues. The King of Crenshaw. Binge all four episodes now on SiriusXM, Pandora, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. KJZ, ESPN Radio, Alan Hahn, Patrick McEnroe with Key this morning. We go to the Goodyear Hotline. Tony Boselli joining us right now on the Goodyear Hotline, the former Jaguars tackle, a five-time pro bowler, three-time all-pro, and I got to get in. Fight on?
No, you don't even say it right.
I was going to let you do it.
No, former teammate of mine.
Yes. USC
actual
Trojan.
Guy who taught me how to block. So
you had a block.
Yeah.
I just keep playing the USC.
Yeah, yeah. Sing the songs.
Oh, man.
These Tony,
dudes,
good morning. How are you?
They don't get it.
What's going on? What's up, Key?
How you doing, T-Bow?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
Well, that's
good. I'm just sitting here in the Atlanta airport flying home from the lovely preseason game last night.
Oh, before we get into that, did Key, was he really receptive and when you were teaching him how to block? Does it seem, you know, was that part of, you know, that made him the great receiver?
No. Keyshawn was one of my favorite teammates of all time.
I mean, I understand. I'm not talking about his blocking.
Yeah, oh, no, he was physical. Well, he came in. I mean, this was before Throw Me the Damn Ball came out. I mean, Keyshawn came in as JC as a junior, and I was a senior. And he, you know, you can say anything you want about Keyshawn, but he was willing to earn his place on the team. And from day one came in, and he was physical. He did whatever was asked of him. So that's why he's one of my favorite teammates ever.
You mentioned, Tony, that you're in Atlanta Airport, which, as we know, is a gigantic – just you're in the middle. You feel like you're in an own city right there in that airport. But you were at last night's game in New Orleans between the Jaguars and the Saints. We spent a lot of time talking about the Saints quarterback situation. We feel like Trevor Lawrence, that should be a settled situation, but it has not been yet, at least not from Urban Meyer's mouth. So – what did you see out of Trevor Lawrence last night? Did he do enough to earn the job?
Well, first of all, he's the starting quarterback. He's been the starting quarterback since the day they drafted him. I mean, the rest is just an Urban, you know, head coach, and obviously he'll make the call when he wants to. But anyone who doesn't think that he is the starting quarterback is kidding themselves. One, it's clear on the practice field he's the better player. In the games, he's the better player. He is the better talent. So there's no question that he's going to be opening day starting quarterback. And he's the franchise quarterback until he proves he can't be. You want to talk about Gardner Minshew. I think the bigger question right now is Gardner Minshew the backup? Because in the first two preseason games, he has not played well. And C.J. Beathard, who they paid $2.7 million guaranteed to come in and compete, he's looked better in games. Gardner's looked better in practice, but C.J.'s looked better in the games.
T-Bow, being down there, watching it up close in person and seeing everything, should Trevor Lawrence, given the fact that the offensive line has struggled, and you know the offensive line well, obviously, have struggled these last two games, should he be given the job, or should they kind of wait to kind of get things under control before they give way to him?
No, I think you got to play him. I mean, I don't buy that you get better by watching. And I get that the offensive line has struggled a little bit. They're pretty good on the interior three. The tackles got a bit better, which hopefully they will. But I think you can mitigate the risk also if you can run the ball. James Robinson's a good running back, had over 1,000 yards as a rookie last year. So Just don't do what the Bengals did, which is drop back 55 times a game behind a bad offensive line, waiting for your franchise quarterback to get killed. And so I think Urban will be smart. Darrell Bevell, he's more conservative as well. I mean, just even look at his days from Seattle and Detroit. So I expect him, and he should be out there. He needs the reps. It's their only chance, quite frankly. They need high production out of the quarterback if they're going to win football games this year. And he's got to protect them. You got to, make sure you help those tackles out if need be. You got to run the ball.
Tony, I'm glad to hear you say that about Trevor, because I've been trying to tell these guys all morning that he should play, and they're just shooting me down. So someone who's a real football player agrees with me. I appreciate that. But I got to ask you about Urban Meyer, because he did not look like he was having a very good time out there last night. I can understand why. But the overall, theme of the college coach, the big-time college coach coming to the NFL, I mean, let's be honest, it's never really worked. I mean, since 2000, there's only three guys that have even posted a winning record in the NFL as a head coach, and they're not even in the league anymore. So what do you think the long-term implications will be and are for Coach Urban Meyer?
Yeah, I mean, to your point, he's had success, but it's all been in college. I mean, I think he is a good leader. Everyone knows it's much different. You're not going to have a bunch of 5- and 4-star guys where you're better than, 80% of the teams before you even kick it off. He's coming into a roster that was one of the worst rosters in the NFL last year. It was never going to be a quick fix. I don't care if you get Trevor Lawrence or what you do. You can't fix it in 1 year. And so the big question is he going to have the patience? And I he's a smart man. I got to believe he understood what he was signing up for. And history would tell you, there's more failures and successes of college guys who come from college who've never done it in the NFL and try to be an NFL coach. With that said, I do think that the college game and the NFL game have probably never been closer as far as style of how the game is played. So that might help him. But a lot of it's going to be is how he works through this first year when it's not going well, because this is a guy who's never not had success. And so I think that's the thing I'm really watching and seeing how he'll handle it. But you can't argue with the guy's, resume and his, what he's done and his success. And it's just the ability to organize and lead a group of men. So I know everyone in Jacksonville is hoping that it works out.
Tony, you kind of went through something very similar, although Tom Coughlin had been an assistant coach in the National Football League for a short stint there before going to Boston College, becoming a head coach, then moving back down to the NFL level. What was it like being coached by a guy coming from college and becoming a first-time NFL head coach in their college ways, so to speak, like Tom Coughlin?
Well, it was miserable. I mean, especially back then. I mean, because there was no rules. I mean, we had 6 weeks of 2 days that first, year. 2 days every day. I mean, it was like that. I mean, we were practicing full pads or shoulder pads, helmets on Fridays for a Sunday. I mean, it was he was just unrelenting of getting after us, and he had a method to his madness. He was just going to beat us to submission to where we became such a close team because he was building something for the long term. And it ended up working. You couldn't get away with that in today's NFL. But he also, you said it best, and you played for Bill Parcells. He spent a lot of time with Bill Parcells on his staff, and so he had an NFL philosophy of how things needed to work at that level and what he was going to do. And so it was not always fun, but you always knew that he had a plan, and he knew what it looked like, and he knew what he was trying to accomplish because he coached under one of the best coaches, Hall of Famer, Bill Parcells. So I think it's really apples to oranges. Yeah, he came from college. I think his mentality would have been, regardless whether he went to college or just comes directly from being on Bill Parcells' staff, was that old school mentality, physical, get after guys. It was just a different era, but it wasn't a lot of fun all the time.
And that was obviously the beginning of the franchise, and right now Jacksonville Jaguars trying to go through another rebuild with a head coach coming out of the college ranks in Urban Meyer. And We'll see if it works, but they certainly have a quarterback to build around. And Tony, as you said, he is the man, so we'll take your word for it. Thanks so much for the time. Safe travels. All the
fight
best.
On, man.
Fight on, Keith. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yep, you got it. Tony Boselli on the Goodyear Hotline.
You so know, you wanted to go to USC.
You know,
Pat.
I was dying there. I was at Stanford. You know, just. You know, I went to Stanford.
But you know you wanted to be a Trojan. You know you just
– I mean, maybe
Stanford
just
had
the,
great
the,
tennis.
For
no
the football team. For the football team,
but you wanted to not be a tree. You wanted to ride the Trojan horse.
The Stanford thing, that's the one thing I will say. The mascot thing is just the weirdest
tree.
Thing.
Have you ever –
Have you ever –
And the band, right.
Have you ever been to a Stanford football game?
I haven't been to a Stanford football game, but I've been to Stanford.
Worst tailgating in the history of tailgating.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the worst. It's the worst.
Well, you want to elaborate or just
because it first of all, you're under these big redwood type trees at the stadium.
Gorgeous.
And they're gorgeous
air
trees.
Scrubbers.
They look,
you're
they
breathing
look,
good
cool.
air.
They're good. But everything is so you know, tablecloths, everything,
yeah.
The chardonnay.
Is that what we do?
I went to one time. I was like, seriously,
maybe
just,
now you'd be into it.
I was like, seriously? No, I went to one recently within the last several years. And I'm like, do I really – I want to be nice and not leave. But everything was, my kids. Yeah. And that.
A little sushi,
like,
maybe? A little sushi
all,
for you?
All that.
Oh, yeah.
All that.
Absolutely.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Very expensive tailgates.
Why not?
Wasn't any cheap meat.
No. A little escargot. A little,
all that.
Filet, little filet
he
mignon.
Was right about the Chardonnay.
A little skirt steak, you know? Come on.
Actually,
Chateaubriand.
Yeah,
they had it all.
That sounds amazing, actually.
Awesome. No, it's not a real tailgate.
I don't know. That's pretty good. It sounds like a pretty
and
good
then when
ears
score,
and dogs.
Look,
right.
And then when they score, do something good, it's
well done. Good show.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, give me some.
I know. But when I was at Stanford, you know, we were the doormats of the Pac-12. Or I guess it was the Pac-10 in those years, football. But then, of course, you know, Stanford had a pretty good run there for a while.
Oh, yeah. Stanford has good football. I don't mind it at all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind it at all.
It's just it's good basketball.
The fan base,
just,
though.
Oh, God. Stanford basketball, they're churning out NBA players. Yeah. The women's team is ridiculous.
The women's
team.
I don't want to hear anything about anybody creating anything anymore. Talk about football. Where the football game? I don't want to hear about an invention or some lab that you're in to try to save the world.
People. A little engineering going on. Right, right.
All right, well, there's only one Nick Foles, backup quarterback. This is just Jeff Hostetler, too, of course. But Key's going to tell you why there's a handful of backup quarterbacks who can keep their team in the playoff hunt if called upon. Hear them. Next, this is After Next, which I don't know what that means. But
After Next is a singing group.
After
R&B.
Next.
After Next. After our next
on Jay Will Zuba, the ESPN Radio, and Sirius XM, Channel 80, the Sabotage.
As a fan, this is amazing. This
no,
is the
is.
Time of the year.
This is what we talked about. This is real, man.
This is real. Are you ready? Because I'm ready.
This is Scott Van Pelt, and I'm ready.
This is Keyshawn Johnson. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are ready.
This is Stafford Steve, and I'm ready.
This is the Bear, and I'm ready.
Football is back, and it kicks off every morning with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, and continues all day right here on ESPN Radio.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yes. Believe it or not.
Yep.
We go back to this game we played earlier in the show.
Good.
It was
go
so
back.
Good, right?
Yeah, it was great.
So nice. We got to play this song twice. Keith chooses not to sing it this time around, and we thank him for that. So Believe It or Not is what we play. Oh, we do have some news? Okay.
Oh, what happened?
More news.
Well, this is in Chicago.
Justin Fields is the starter.
Matt Nagy has announced Justin Fields will start
there
at quarterback.
In the preseason
In the final preseason game Saturday against the Titans. Jeff Dickerson, who covers the Bears, said Andy Dalton is not playing Saturday because he's the week one starter.
You know, oh, really?
So there it is.
Oh.
So he's a week one starter for now.
Week one.
For now.
For now.
It's funny how when Josh McDaniels said that.
No, but Justin Fields go out there in the final preseason game and do some stuff. They got 2 weeks to figure it out after that.
That, to me, is the only – we've talked about all the different quarterback competitions slash controversies. By the way, if you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks, opinion.
We have learned
but that.
That
being said, this is the only one, I think, Chicago, where there really is some question about who it should be. I like Fields myself.
And on top of that, though – before we move on, if he decides to stick with Andy Dalton at the quarterback spot for a week or two, I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. Just know you don't have very many losses that you can collect before they really start to cough
your head. They'll be coming for you, right? Yeah. Well, remember, we broke this down yesterday. It's about week four is Detroit. First three games, challenging. Then week four is Detroit, so if there's ever a time to make that move, it's got to be there because then you go off on another stretch of some really tough opponents. The Chicago Bears have the – I think strength of schedule-wise, toughest schedule in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So keep an eye on that. Now, Nagy said that Fields will play roughly two quarters Saturday in the preseason finale. So while we play, believe it or not, as we talked about, backup quarterbacks, Jeff Hostetler, Nick Foles, they can win you a Super Bowl. They also sometimes will come in and just win you a game that keeps you in the running, that keeps you in the standings when you lose your starter. So let's go through some of the backup quarterbacks on teams we think could be contenders. Why not we stay in Chicago? Believe it or not, in Justin Fields.
I believe in Justin Fields. I think whether he's a starter week one or he's the backup until week three, four, five, six, whatever the case may be, I think they could turn to him at any time throughout the course of the season and get what it is that they're looking for and still keep everybody that are veteran players feeling good about the quarterback spot. Because one thing I can be for sure about is if Andy Dalton struggles, those veterans will start to turn not only on him but on Coach Maggie and staff.
Yeah, it sounds like they're not turning on Dalton per se, but that they're very supportive of Fields. That's sort of like the reading between the lines of what you hear from some of the players and what Keyshawn has said earlier today. I believe in Justin Fields, and this is the one situation where I think maybe not a bad idea to let him sit for a few games, see what's going on with Dalton, if he can get you a couple of wins, because he's done it. He's been around a long time. He's more than serviceable, I'd say, Andy Dalton.
Oh, yeah, and it's good, again, be in that quarterback room, preparing for a game, but not have to have the pressure of starting it. All right, we continue. Let's go to Vegas, the Raiders. Marcus Mariota, believe it or not?
I believe in Marcus Mariota. I watched him last year against the Chargers in relief of Carr, and he came out, he did well. He played well. I think this sits him well. He's learning in John Gruden's offense how to become a different type of quarterback than he was at Tennessee in college at Oregon. But I believe him strongly as a number two. I feel safe and confident. I think if I had to rank him right now, I think he falls in that 1-2 backup role, maybe to Mitch Trubisky out of all quarterbacks that have played significant amount of time in the National Football League.
A little concerned about how much he's been moving around. You know, again, now he's with another team. I'm on the fence on this one. I mean, I like his skills, but coming into a whole new offense, not totally sold on him as the backup.
I mean, Carr's numbers, by the way, I meant to tell you because you had him in your top 10. Carr's numbers in comparison over the last couple of years, I mean, he's been a really effective quarterback.
Yeah.
It's the lack of skill players around him that they could benefit from.
He's been very successful.
We continue, believe it or not, with backup quarterbacks, if they have to, if they're pressed to play, can they help their team? This one's a very interesting one. Pittsburgh, Dwayne Haskins, do you believe in him or not?
I do believe in Dwayne Haskins, and the reason is because he was a starter once upon a time in Washington, got himself in a little bit of trouble, was moved and released, and then Pittsburgh picks him up. Mike Tomlin, he's not going to bring in somebody he can't trust. Mm. And I think now this kid has matured over the last year or so. He's got a lot of skill position, weapons around him. They know how to win in Pittsburgh. They'll know what to do because if you think about it, they're not – a team that's not accustomed to playing with a backup for a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout Ben Roethlisberger's career, they've certainly had to play with backups.
Yep.
Whether it's been Charlie Batch or as late as Mason Rudolph, and in between a whole host of others.
Well, Dwayne Haskins is solid, but Keyshawn said the name to me that's the most important in this discussion, and that's Mr. Mike Tomlin. Okay, Mike Tomlin runs a tight ship. They got a great team around them, a great defense, arguably one of the best in the league. So because of that, I believe.
All right. Well, Mason Rudolph, by the way, is going to probably need to find a new place to play because, you know, there's a guy that thought he was the next man up until Dwayne Haskins showed up. Believe it or not, the Seahawks, Russell Wilson. How about Geno Smith if he's asked to play? Can he keep them afloat?
I think he can. One or two games. I wouldn't want to go beyond that. Geno hasn't really been a full-time participant in the National Football League as far as underneath the center in a very long time.
Yeah, since so early in his career, first
I
years.
Would say that because he's a veteran and he kind of knows what they're going to ask him to do, he can hold things together. But I wouldn't bet that Russell Wilson will miss any time because I don't know when the last time Russell missed.
As a long – Alan, you understand this as well as anyone. As longtime Jet fans, Geno Smith
don't
is
trust.
Not the answer.
Yeah.
I do not believe – Russell
That's
Wilson.
Personal, though.
Yeah. Well, it's personal based on professional experience, right, of watching this guy play. Russell Wilson is the man. I know he made some noise in the offseason, but that was just noise. He'll be just fine on his own.
All right, here's a name that's an interesting one, too, if you think about last year's playoffs. So the Rams make their trade at quarterback. They bring in Matthew Stafford. But don't forget, John Wolford is there, and they trusted him more than they trusted Jared Goff at the end of the season. So, do we believe it or not in John Wolford as a backup?
No, I don't believe. I think when you look at the small sample size that you got, a game and then whatever it was, a series or two in Seattle, everybody went crazy because Sean McVay and Les Snead made a decision to start this young man over Jared Goff when people assume that Jared Goff was healthy and could go. Based on the relationship that Jared Goff had with Sean McVay, Sean decided to do something different. But I don't think he's the long-term answer solution as a number two. Because if that was the case and you felt so strong about him, if you would have moved on from Jared Goff, you wouldn't have went and got right. Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, and the
you ain't you're not fooling me with that.
Yeah, exactly. And I agree with you, Cave. Matthew Stafford's got a tremendous amount of pressure on him. He's got to deliver. And I do not believe in Wolford as a backup in this situation at all. It's all about Stafford this year.
Right, it's easy to play a couple snaps. But when you got to play 50, 60 snaps in the game and then bullets go to flying, nah.
Yeah, remember he had the injury too. All right, quickly on these last two because these are two interesting ones too. All right, quickly. Green Bay Packers, Jordan Love, believe him or not.
I don't believe. Yeah. I don't even know. Does he play football? Yeah, I have no idea. I haven't seen him.
You never get to see him play, right? No?
Can't believe.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And the last one. The Browns, Case Keenum's the backup there for Baker Mayfield. If he had to play, are the Browns staying a contender?
Hey, I think they are. I think you believe in this because he's been in the league. He knows how to play professional football. I don't need him playing more than two or three games, though. I just don't.
Right.
He's a backup for a reason.
The right. word is stopgap. He can do it as a stopgap for a couple of games. Absolutely very good team around him, so I believe.
Yeah, and the defense certainly will help you because their defense is going to be very good. And remember also, you know, he did with Minnesota.
Yeah,
right?
But,
I mean, he did carry them
yeah,
right, to
but
the
that was so long
championship
ago.
Game.
That's a long time ago.
Right, but still, he can do it.
And
proven.
I'm okay for one or two games. Don't start telling me I got 10 games with this dude.
Oh, no, but that's none of
that.
I don't think any of these guys.
No.
This is all about,
no.
again,
one
just
or two
keep
games.
Me afloat. That's all I need you to do. When you're afloat. A contender, that's how valuable the backup quarterback is. All right, it's that time of the show. Call the roulette. Get in line on the Dr. Pepper call in line. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. So, call the roulette coming up next after Key has this. From Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, there you go. You got it right. College football fans, after an offseason that felt a little more like off than usual, Fansville, Dr. Pepper invite you to celebrate because college football is back in the best way. And so are the fans. Yes, it's the most wonderful time of the year. Again, the season of Saturdays when rivals run deep and nacho cheese dip runs even deeper. So crack open an ice cold Dr. Pepper, warm up your cornhole tossing arm, and return to glory with an all new season of Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. It's time for Call a Roulette.
You know the rules. Don't ask us how we are.
We're good.
I don't want to hear any of that.
Get in, say your name, and make your point, and ask the question.
888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. And don't mess it up.
Don't mess it up.
Especially you, Line 5.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Sit there on ESPN News as we were just taking a shot of, I guess that was the
FDR.
The FDR, yeah. Right?
It looked like the FDR.
Getting out of Dodge.
A low-speed chase.
Right? The Dodge Caravan going up the...
888-7293776 on caller roulette. We do have some tweets to read to you for a second here. So John says, dang, who knew that Patrick McEnroe was not just a tennis guy, but knowledgeable about hashtag sports. Enjoyed listening to him.
Got all my producers, you know, feed me information. Thanks, guys.
You got
he's
some,
an athlete.
You, got some
you think he
there.
Just looks at tennis and tennis only?
Well, I wonder, he always says about when he watches football, he's like, he just looks right. Mm-hmm. When you watch tennis, randomly, you just see a guy maybe for the first time. Yeah,
absolutely.
He's got
you can tell by the way they hold the racket.
Seriously?
Yeah, you can tell by the way if they're a real player.
You see, when I was holding mine, he's like, yeah.
Well, you look like you were swinging a golf club.
Golf club, right. Right. You don't hold your racket like that, okay?
So if I was dressed apart and I stepped on a tennis court and I held my racket like this, you'll be like, we get ready to dust him. Hey, you want to bet?
Right. Right. White man can't jump. Give him the chump.
It's like me going out playing flag football. Kids be like, what is this over here? Give me a break.
All right, let's spin the wheel. Line three.
Yes, good morning. What are the chances that you think the Buccaneers win the Super Bowl with Tom Brady again this year, or you think we're going to see some wear and tear and that they eventually fall short?
They could fall short, but it won't be a major drop-off. They're still going to have a successful season. Now, whether or not they're favored by some to win the Super Bowl, get back to the Super Bowl, they certainly can, and they could not make it to the Super Bowl, but they're going to be a strong out. I mean, they're going to be a tough out.
Final four at least.
They could.
Conference.
I mean, they could. They could. Yeah. It's a long season. It's 17 weeks.
I just love the fact that Tom Brady says it's going to be his best year ever. I mean, I just love it.
He loves setting that tone.
Unbelievable.
He knows what he's saying, too. Like, when he puts it out there, he's like, watch this. Watch this catch fire. Like, he knows why when he says
that stuff. You got everybody coming back. And the entire coaching staff is back on both. Both coordinators are back. The head coach is back. Tom Brady's back. I mean, it's just you got everything lined up for you to be successful in year two.
All right, by the way, I got to get to this Mako read. With Mako and their magic, your car's no longer tragic. Life throws you uh-ohs. Just say, better get Mako and head to Mako.com to get an online estimate today. You see what I did there with the uh-oh? Okay, spin it. Line five.
Hey, Brad from Ohio.
Gotcha.
I was going to say that I think Case Keenum is probably the best backup quarterback, and I'm a Pittsburgh fan for that matter. Just saying that.
He's the best out of the backup quarterbacks. He's got it.
Well, Mitch Trubisky alone with Marcus said, Mariota.
Now, Foles is a third string in Chicago, but wouldn't you consider him?
Somebody.
Somebody's going to. I hope the Jets get him.
If Andy Dalton was the backup, would you say he's the best backup?
Ooh, yeah, if he was the backup, but he's not a backup. So,
but he will be soon.
Maybe. Okay. That may be
when
true.
When he becomes
we'll do this
the
again
backup.
In week six. Yeah.
We'll re-rank him.
But the two backups that have played and have some experience at playing as former starters or Mitch Trubisky and Marcus Mariota.
Why isn't Taysom Hill in this conversation? He technically will be the backup quarterback.
Well, because it's just, I don't know, he's going to play by default other positions.
Right.
So it's you just didn't put him in there. Nah, it doesn't really count for me.
All right, let's spin it. Line four.
Hello.
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 How are you?
Good.
Good.
I'm here.
Yes.
What do you got for
You're
us?
You're on the air.
Yeah, I want to talk about the Bills and the stadium.
Oh, yeah. What's going on with that?
Well, I live in the Buffalo area. The Pegulas have always said they're going to come to the table with money. It's going to happen. But what I really want to know is how come the NFL isn't coming to the table with some money for these stadiums?
Well, I don't know.
It's their business.
Job. But no, it's yeah. But their own. You have to understand the NFL is 32 owners, and they pay the commissioner to kind of run the business. But the league doesn't own or buy or build stadiums. That's up to each individual market. So it's up to the owner to do that and also the market.
And depending on how they put their financial package together with the city,
yes.
The NFL will loan up to several hundred million dollars. And I forgot what they call it. I want to say they call it a G8 or a G5 program or something like that, that they can loan the owners the money that they need to help build a stadium.
It's poor owners. They're poor guys. Yeah, they need a loan.
Well,
I got to help them out.
That's what they call it, a loan.
I got to give a shout out to Jess Pegula, who doesn't like it when we mention it on our tennis coverage. Did you know this, that Jessica Pegula is a big-time tennis player.
Yeah, I was going to say
and
her
she's
daughter?
The daughter,
yeah, the daughter.
Of the Pegulas that own the Buffalo Bills. So I got to give her a little love because she's had her best year ever as a pro tennis player.
See?
So
maybe you win a championship.
Maybe she can give a little money back.
And then help out. Give a little photo loan
community.
To the parents.
Right.
Take care of your rents.
A little role reversal.
Heard you need some renovations.
And that goes back to our earlier conversation about having the economics to put your kids through tennis so they can learn it with no problem at all. That's why the McEnroes do a good job with their foundation and their tennis academy,
and all
the making sure that they give
kids.
The scholarships to the inner city kids so they can learn how
and we
to
will,
tennis.
And we will give Keyshawn some free tennis lessons.
Well, they shouldn't be free. No,
sure.
No.
Keyshawn,
no,
they're going to we'll give it to you free.
First of all, they're going to have to pay me to go to take the lessons.
Well, that's ridiculous. You see, once again, this is what happens, right? Yeah. Somebody who's already got money, he gets a break.
They're going to have to pay me.
Thank you guys for having me, by the way. I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
All right, Pat. Enjoy the U.S. Open this year, Key. All the best, my man.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.